I was at a Syracuse game, and again, a purple and a sea of orange.
Yeah.
And some guy poured beer down my back. Well, he said he says he spilled it and he was sorry and it was an accident. Do you believe him?
Wow.
What did you literally were like
How much beer?
Like the whole cup?
My back was pretty wet.
That's horrible.
I'm surprised.
He said it was an accident. He said it was an accident.
You probably paid $10 for it.
Yeah, honestly, even if I hated you, a beer is way too expensive to like...
At a game? Man.
Pour out on somebody.
Yeah. Our goal on this podcast is to know Jesus better and by the power of his spirit do better so together we can be a little better. Well, welcome to A Little Better. So great to have you for week number 3 of Mindfield. I had to think about it. It's two words, by the way, Mindfield. So anyway, Drew, we've been, you laid down the foundation in week 1. We talked about an identity crisis in week 2. And this week, we got in our heads about relationships. Yep. So why don't you recap for us your sermon in 60?
Yeah, this sermon was really how your mind affects all the relationships that you have. And Paul teaches us that, man, we are to strive after unity and peace in our relationships. And so how does our mind keep us from those things? And we talked about some misconceptions that we believe in our relationships, some of how our expectations for relationships, how all of these things play a role in the lack of unity that we might have throughout any kind of relationship that we had. And then we came back to those strategies that we're really trying to impress on people's heads to use as we try to navigate each topic, right? Getting to know your thoughts, understanding, evaluating them, to take them to God, to rest them, and ultimately to repair those thoughts. And so using those same strategies when it comes to how our mind sees relationships and how it impacts those.
Well, sometimes I'll ask, Drew, what do you leave on the table? I think right now I'll welcome Matt Soans to the conversation, our ministry's lead, and ask, what did Drew leave you hungry for? Matt, what was the...
Well, one of the things I really loved about this sermon, so often when you get into kind of relationships and conflict, it's a lot about like strategies for... How do I talk to somebody that I'm in conflict with? And but in this sermon, Drew, you focused on how do I get my head right mm-hmm. when it comes to my relationship conflicts, and that's really the place you start before mm-hmm. before you decide I got to talk to this person about something. We got to get mm-hmm. our heads right. So, I mean, there's obviously a lot that could be said about how to have a conversation when you're in a conflict. Mm-hmm. And we can talk about that if you want, but mm-hmm. I really appreciated that focus on like, let's get my mind right before we try to figure out we're going to say something. Yeah.
And I just got to say this, like if you're watching this podcast, we're not smiling because we find Matt's comments amusing, but right now you can probably hear it. The garbage is being picked up close by and it's a little noisy.
Speaking of relational tension, we have relational tension with the garbage man for our podcast because he comes every week, like right at this moment. And I have some thoughts in my head that
it's a battle.
If we get like back on topic, I think that's what I've really, this is going to sound like I'm like patting my own sermon creating on the back, but I write with team, but I love what I've loved about this series is, you know, a lot of our series focus on external things. And this is like a work on like the internal part of mm-hmm. who we are in Christ and the power of how our mind affects every area mm-hmm. of our life.
Yeah, I think that's the sweet spot, the important part that this sermon hits. I think if anyone sees relationships in the title of a sermon, it's going to be all about like conflict resolution. How do I go to this person? I you know, just a few weeks ago, preached a sermon on forgiveness, and a lot of it was, you know, how you get out there and interact with others. But like Matt said, you know, 90% of these problems couldn't be resolved if they're just settled in our minds, right? Mm. And Drew, we can talk about resolving conflicts with others, but Drew, you talked, one of your questions, I know you had 7 questions, which were so helpful in walking through this. I think that was in the, was that in the examine your thoughts part?
Yeah, observe and examine, yep.
So
And again, I love this pattern because every week it's observe and examine your thoughts, pray your thoughts, rest your thoughts, repair your thoughts. And that may sound redundant from week to week, but it looks so different in each of those domains. So I just find if you wonder what I'm talking about, go to the notes. Maybe I'll add it in the additional resources, you know, on here, but it was in the notes. These seven questions that are so helpful. But one of them, I want to say, is can I let this go? That's not the question you asked, but it was basically so that was one of your questions, right? Maybe that wasn't one of the seven, one of the two. Now I'm getting your
it was in the repair. Up. Like, so in the two repair. Questions you ask, like, as I try to repair my thoughts, one of the like things you have to wrestle through is with that hurt, with that pain, with that tension, can I overlook it? Or do I need to respond to it? Do I need to address it? And so those were the two questions that we asked in those, like, how do you repair those thoughts?
Right. And I think I'm just going to throw it out there. Like 90% of the time, it can be overlooked. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure what the ratio is. I just feel like life...
As you throw 90 out, you course correct.
I feel like, well, now people have this idea that I obsess about the offenses everyone has against me, right? If I've got like 90%.
I think a great example of overlooking is the example I gave with my wife, right? You know, like I'm coming home from a trip and I have these expectations that I haven't communicated. And when my expectations are met, like that's not my wife's fault, right? Like that's something where I have to like evaluate my thoughts and say, this is unrealistic. And one, did my wife really offend me? No. Did she mean to? No. That's an easy one to say, you know what? I can overlook this. I can move past this. And maybe next time in my mind, if I have expectations, I communicate those.
Yeah, Matt, I want you to follow up on this because we talk about these expectations and unmet expectations. I know that you've even talked with the staff in training about assumptions we make when conflicts arise. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, every time we have a conflict and it starts internally, it starts in our head, when we have an expectation and then our experience doesn't match that expectation. So there's a gap created between our expectations and our experiences. And we tend to fill that gap with something. The question is, what do we fill it with? We tell ourselves a story to fill that gap. And usually, typically, the way we work as humans is we tell ourselves a story about the character of the other person who caused that gap, right? Or sometimes about ourselves, like our own character. Typically, we judge ourselves by, and Drew, you may have said this, we judge ourselves by our intentions, but we judge other people based on their impact on us. We make a character judge about somebody. Oh, he's late for the meeting again. He must just be lazy or he's just bad at time management, right? Not like, oh, he's late. I wonder if he's okay. Right? So do we fill that gap with a trusting assumption or do we fill it with suspicion and judgment? And we want to be, as Christians, we want to be people who fill those expectation gaps with trusting assumptions. We want to be humble and get curious about people rather than being judgmental internally.
And I think that's where like observing and examining your thoughts really plays a huge role in how it affects your relationship. Because so, like, if you look at some of those questions, like one of the questions was like, is this a one-time offense or is this a pattern, right? And that question alone helps you fill that gap, right? With the example, someone's late. Oh, they were late one time. That helps me like, this is just a rare thing. Maybe something happened, right? If you're seeing this consistently, you're like, this is a pattern. Now, I don't tell myself a story of like, oh, they're lazy. Now I need to say, hey, what's going on? I want more information. And I think it's
curious.
Exactly. I think it's important that first step of like knowing what you're thinking and being like, I can't tell myself a story, right? I can't fill the gap. I should let that person fill that gap.
Right. I think you used the phrase, we were talking before the podcast, Matt, humble curiosity.
Yeah.
Just, I love that heart posture, you know, just the humility, like what don't I, you know, the curiosity, right? Just, I know, I just make myself the hero of the story. When I replay things in my head, it's so often, you know, I'm just dealing with a bunch of incompetence, right? You know, but to reverse that, you know, we treat others with judgment. We treat ourselves with grace. Mm-hmm. And Drew, you made a turn in the sermon I thought was just so powerful for me. We talked about, in one way, you're kind of like urging people to be patient with others, like, okay, you know, let me be a good person. But then you twisted it to say, how patient has God been mm-hmm. with me? Mm. And I can't imagine, I mean, all the stuff God overlooks in my life
yep.
is, it's unbelievable. But if he slowed me down and I said, you know, mm-hmm. God, I said, I'm sorry. You know, God doesn't say, I'm not feeling it. I'm not sure you're sorry enough, you know? Yeah. But that's the way I treat my wife. You know, that's the way I treat others. It's just like, no, you don't get it. You know, you're just wrestling with this sense of grievance that God never holds against us.
And I think, you know, one of the things I didn't mention is like sometimes whether you overlook it or not, like the type of relationship that you have matters in this equation too, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm talking to a stranger versus someone I know well, it's going to change the way my mind processes and the way I react to certain mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. But I think as a Christ follower, you have to start from the place that God has overlooked your offenses, yes. right? And I don't know if I love the word overlooked, yeah. right? Yeah. It's the term we're using here, but like God's not like, oh, you sinned, it's okay, move on, right? He's not doing that. He's not overlooking sin or letting sin be swept under the rug. No, he loved enough to already pay for it.
That's right.
He loved you enough to like, think about this. Can you imagine if like Brad's offenses towards me, I loved him enough to pay for them through like my own death. Like mm-hmm. that's ultimately what we're saying here is the cost that Jesus paid so he could overlook our offenses and that his blood could cover those offenses.
And in some ways, when we do that relationally with each other, it's overlooking is that like I'm deciding I'm going to pay the cost
yes.
of that offense.
Yes.
I'm not going to take it back to you who offended me.
Right.
I'm just going to deal with it.
Yep.
Right.
I'm going to carry that cost. And that is exactly what Jesus does for us.
He
bears the weight and the cost mm-hmm. Of our offenses. Yeah.
And I think we got to be careful because there's a fine line between overlooking and knowing when to respond. Mm-hmm. You know, for you guys, right? Like I mentioned, I think one of the line is like, if I can't get this out of my head,
yep.
I have to respond to it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Would you have any other like lines there that you just kind of gives you a window into like, I need to respond to this?
Yeah, for sure. I think if it's a sin issue and you're dealing with a brother or sister in Christ, like we have an obligation to each other to help each other grow. That's like part of our job as a body is to, through the power of the Holy Spirit, confront and convict each other. So if it's a sin issue, I've got to say something, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I think about this in a work context. If there's like a performance issue, you can't just let that go because it like totally saps the energy and strength of a team if you just have a poor performer and nobody's talking to them about it, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be left alone in their poor performance, right? Everybody wants to get better. So you don't let that kind of stuff go. You have to talk about it. And maybe if it's a one-time thing, you let it go. But if it becomes a pattern, you can't let it go anymore. I think for sure, if it's stuck in my head and I can't stop thinking about it, or if I find myself trying to justify to myself not saying anything, then I know I probably need to say something. Mm.
Yeah.
That's good.
I know you said you didn't like the overlooking. I mean, to me, I go to the biblical statement that love covers a multitude of sins.
Right.
That there is simply a posture of, you know what, love, it's going to overlook a lot because God has overlooked a lot. But, you know, crossing that line, I mean, I'm either going after that person with vengeance or at least a selfish agenda.
Sure.
Right. It's just like they need to understand what they did.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a right motivation. No. But if you look at the other person, you say, you know what? They're hurting themselves and they're hurting others by what they're doing. You know, I can forgive that person and I can go to that person with love and say, dude, you know, God just wants something better for you. Like, here's a blind spot. Yeah. Here's something. But, you know, and people can smell it, yeah. I think, you know, in terms of that, you know, if you're really after their best interest.
And I think one of the things that is really important in this, like, overlooking an offense is, I think one of the first things you have to learn to do is not let your thoughts spiral out of control, yep. right? Because even in my illustration, like, one thought often leads to another, and those thoughts build, and they usually, because we have a negative bias, they usually continue to get worse, right? Mm-hmm. It starts as like, did my wife really miss me? All the way to, does she desire me, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big leap of like, oh, did she miss me for 12 days? Now I'm thinking, man, does she actually love me, desire me? And I think if we can win the battle of like stopping our negative thoughts before they get too far out of control, it allows us to keep what we're focused on, and it helps us overlook things mm-hmm. quicker.
Yeah.
You know, I want to widen this a little bit in terms of the culture and, you know, where we live. You had talked about one of the lies being that unity means no disagreements. Mm-hmm. And then you also mentioned the fact that I don't think we as a culture at large know how to handle disagreements
yeah.
because so often disagreements lead to getting canceled.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I disagree with you, you're my enemy. You know, if I disagree with you, there's no relationship or reconciliation possible. But to really relate to people who you genuinely disagree with, I think, and I'm not sure we can get there without the cross.
Yeah.
You know, it's just we can give all this great advice to people to say, hey, overlook a bunch of offenses, but how do you overlook offenses unless you know that God has taken care of it all, that there is justice will be done, God's going to make it right, you know, God's going to make his plan.
I think too as Christians, how do we witness or reach anybody with the gospel if we don't love and care for people that don't see things the way we do, right? Mm-hmm. Like if we live that way, we just automatically cancel our own witness to other people, because people who don't see God the way we do, we just don't hang around. We don't have influence with. I think some of my most fruitful relationships have been with people who see things differently than I do, because mm-hmm. what they do is in those conversations, they have made me see the world and circumstances and topics differently. It's created an empathy for me to say, man, I'm not always right. And I don't always see things accurately. And the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And that doesn't always mean like two people who agree rubbing together get sharper. It means like sometimes those differences actually sharpen us to become more mature, more wiser people.
Yeah, I've definitely found that. I grow way more through conversations with people who think differently than I grow in conversations with people. Yeah, right. Like, a lot of times we just, you know, we can, and because so much of our relationships have moved into like algorithm-driven spaces online, like there's no, what context do we have anymore for real relationships with people who disagree with us?
Yeah.
They're very few unless we're really intentional about them. And so, but I find like real relationships with people who disagree are way more fruitful for our growth. And we can just get in these echo chambers where we all agree.
Yep.
And reinforce and become the most extreme version of whatever that thought is, you know.
Yeah. That's the danger and end of it, of course. Yeah, I appreciate what both of you brought to it. I started with, oh, look at that, you know, condemning that cancel culture out there. What a bunch of yahoos they are. And you brought it inside back to us, because we as Christians are vulnerable to that, right? Mm-hmm. We're vulnerable to gravitating to only the people we agree with, you know, creating our own bubbles.
I think what plays into that too is our culture, and even us, like conflict is hard, right? No one looks forward to conflict, and we've almost built this, like, we are conflict adverse, right? Yep. We do everything we can to avoid conflict.
Mm-hmm. Definitely an avoider.
And, you know, like, hey, I don't want to have this hard conversation, or I don't want to talk to this person who disagrees with me, because who knows where it's going to go. And I think we lack maturity and how to handle hard conversations. We allow differences to escalate and ruin relationships. Yeah. And I think ultimately it's a lack of maturity, a lack of mercy mm-hmm. and grace that we have. And so our answer to that complex equation is to just avoid. To mm-hmm. draw away. And I saw this as a pastor over the last 5 years through, you know, masks. I've seen the conversation, disagreements on masks ruin families, mm-hmm. vaccines, mm-hmm. political. Like, I mean, right now, here we are. We're getting ready to vote for a very culturally conflict,
very divisive
conversation yeah. about who to vote for. And like, as Christ followers, we have to be mature enough to disagree and still love each other and mm-hmm. grow from those conversations and not avoid them, right? Mm-hmm. I think our solution to that is let's just not talk about politics, mm-hmm. right? Well, that's a shallow way to live. Mm-hmm. And those are shallow relationships. If I can only be around Matt, if we can talk about who we like and what we agree on, mm-hmm. how much of a depth of relationships are we really going to experience in life?
It's way more fun when we disagree.
Sometimes. Yeah, if you want to see good conflict yeah. Resolution and disagreement, just come to one of our pre-preaches.
Oh, yeah. I love pre-preach. So much we go fun. At it sometimes. Yeah,
but,
for sure.
Honestly, I walk out of there, and like at times it can be frustrating and hard, but man, guess what it does? Makes me a better communicator.
Yep. Yeah, I just think we need to wrap this up. And I just think, Drew, I think you've just given us so much to think about. And again, getting our minds right about it is just going to prevent so many ills. Mm. But this is something God wants us to lean into. You know, he's given us the tools for. And as we talk about, you know, loving those we disagree with, there's no greater contrast than the Great Commission.
Yeah.
It's about the church going out and loving, genuinely loving, because we were loved when we were enemies of God.
That's right.
And loving others and bringing them the gospel as well. So anyway, love the series, love each of these topics. You're going to want to keep coming back, every one of them. It's going to hit home and appreciate it. So any clues about what's coming? Do you want to give any previews or?
Yeah, next week, if you're listening, is going to be kind of a sensitive topic, right? We're going to be talking about how our thoughts can get out of control when it comes to the topic of lust.
Yeah, definitely want to come back for that one. Thanks for joining us. Please join us again.